Hi, my name is Smeechy, and this is my episode of Fragging and Lagging with Bobby and Blaze.
Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fragging and Lagging podcast. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, your Junkhead. Call me whatever you want, as long as you call me your friend. And really looking forward to this episode. But this episode would not flow without the diva of all content creation, the beast from Bruges, the man who wishes he could grow a beard. Joachim Blaze, how you doing, brother?
Wishes I could grow a beard, like for real, man. you wish you could grow some hair on your head. That's what you're saying, right?
So maybe this guest will actually give me some pointers.
But guys, I want to welcome Bobby. You know, the muscles from Florida. And yes, he's old, but he's still strong, and he keeps on going strong. Anyways, Bobby, we got an awesome guest today. We got, you know, we got somebody that I've been trying to get on since season one, but she is so hard to reach and so important that it's impossible to get an answer. No, I'm joking, but hey, I did try to get her on season one. If you remember, we had Moral on the first season, and they're actually really, really good friends. So I was like, I remember how much Bobby enjoyed the episode with Moral, so I'm pretty sure he's going to love the episode with this person we're gonna have right now. She's also from Sweden. Her name is Michelle. She's a Twitch partner, an Elgato partner, and apparently she's also vegan. She does some yoga, some stretching. She's awesome at gaming. She probably will kick your butt at Warzone, Bobby. I'm sorry,
yeah,
but you're
probably
a bot.
And yours.
You're a real bot. No,
this isn't actually about me or you.
That's true. Anyway, it's about her. Guys, welcome Michi. Michi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. What a nice introduction. Wow.
Hey, we roll off the red carpet for our guests. So you are the third Swede. Am I saying that right without offending
third
anybody?
Swede, yeah.
The third
yeah.
Swede to have on the first podcast to have three Swedes on.
And actually, they're all connected, those three Swedes, in a way. So it's a bit, you know, I met them all three already. So that's awesome. Do you remember when we met, Michi, or not?
We met, was that at an event, I know. Was it DreamHack?
It was DreamHack Sweden,
it
yes.
It was DreamHack, yeah.
And I had a rented car, and we had to bring somebody who couldn't stand on his legs anymore to his hotel, if you remember, without saying his name.
Yes.
You remember that?
Okay.
That's the first time we met.
I don't know who you're talking about.
And then I remember that we also both have like Scorpio tattoos, right? And I was like,
yes,
damn,
we
sick
do.
Tattoos. Yeah, and we had that in common. I remember. Yeah, DreamHack.
I have tattoos.
Oh, I miss DreamHack as well.
Just not a scorpion tattoo. I'm sorry.
You don't have a Scorpio? Man,
no.
I thought we were the Scorpio gang.
I'm Capricorn gang.
What I always remember is that her birthday is 4 days after mine. I actually never forget it for some reason. When it's like beginning of November, I'm like, oh, 4 days after me, it's Michi's birthday. I have to say happy birthday to her on Twitter. You know,
it's like, whoa, yeah. Why'd you put it like that? Like you're being forced to say happy birthday.
No, not forced, but I always remember. I always remember, you know.
Look, first and foremost, I want to apologize because Blaze's can be a little bit of a stalker when he's messaging people for a podcast episode. So anything he sent to you is probably not true.
I just wrote to her that you were amazing and that she should come on the podcast to meet you. But hey, if you say something else, you know.
Well, I'm sure there was a little bit more. You know, I'm your biggest fan.
It was really sweet. It's been a lot lately, so I'm happy to be here that we finally got this going.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And I gotta say, like, one of the amazing things, like, I know we're gonna get into it a bit later, but one of the amazing things I always think is the work you put into charity streams, and especially what you've done in the last years for Save the Children, which Moral's also involved with. Mm-hmm. And I know you put in a lot of streams, a lot of work, a lot of paintings.
Yeah.
And
it's
tell
fun,
us a little bit about that, you know?
Yeah, I think I've been fundraising for Save the Children for the past, I think, 3 years or four. And Maral was actually the one getting me into it. Now she's such a
Were you nervous? To do it, because if we did one as well, and Bobby's like, we're gonna collect $2,000, and I'm like, dude, we're never gonna collect $2,000. I'm gonna be happy with 500, you know. But yeah, we did get our goal. Definitely. So
you guys killed it. I saw, and you guys had some really fun incentives as well.
It was not an incentive for my beard.
It was not an incentive.
I mean, you in the wedding dress was the best, Junkhead. You in the wedding dress with the makeup on, that was the best part.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Definitely was a little bit nervous, like, for the first time. But, you know, you always think, like, oh, what goal am I supposed to put? And what if we don't meet it? But then you quickly learn that it's all about, like, you know, spreading awareness and whatever help we can, like, fundraise or whatever we can do is, like, more than enough, right? Just talking about Save the Children and talking about what they do. And then just, you know, spreading awareness. So it's more of like the getting together, doing it, than being, you know, thinking too much about if we hit the goal, right? I feel more about having fun and all that. So definitely nervous in the beginning, but not anymore.
Yeah, because I think Morale told us, she's like, don't worry if you guys don't raise... If you raise a dollar makes a difference with Save the Children. And we set a lofty goal because our goal was to build two schools in Africa at no matter what. And
you get that list, right? What the value is for something. And we put like the two schools, like we know that they will do whatever needs to be done with the money, but we in our head had the goal to get enough money so if they could, that they would be able to build two schools. So that was the thing, right, Bobby?
Yeah, yeah, and we did it in 2 days. I think that's what we were the most proud of, literally in 2 days. Fragan family came through, and we did some things, some incentive things, and I don't want to talk about it. I think Morale, we had Morale on, and I had to wear makeup. And I was funny. So, not funny.
I know Morale was laughing a lot at you.
No, I just know that I never thought makeup could be so complex because, like, my fiance, she's like, no, you need this, you need this, you need this, a shimmer card. And I'm like, I don't care. I mean, Blaze just put some makeup on, a lipstick on. It was bad.
Smeared some lipstick on my lips and put some shadow everywhere, and that was it, kind of thing.
Complete makeover. And when I came back, Morale's like, oh my God. So. But enough about that horrible past. I think a lot, not a horrible past, because it was a great past.
You guys did
it was a
amazing great things. So, yeah.
And we're gonna do it again, and we're gonna be top dogs. There, you've been challenged.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's go! Let's go.
A little rivalry.
Great for kids. Mm-hmm.
So, Mishi, I know you're like born and raised in Sweden, right? Or did you come like because you're not originally Swedish, right?
I was actually born in Manila, Philippines, okay. But I moved to Sweden when I was a baby still. So I basically lived here my whole life.
What did you like do? How did you grow up with your mom and everything? And how did you get into gaming? That's of course what we're interested in.
And it's not just us; it's also the community. Your community wants to know how it all began.
I grew up with my brother. There's 3 years apart between us. He's the younger brother. So my mom used to always, you know, work, single mom, growing up. So we used to like just play video games together on our PlayStation 1 and GameCube. Old Harry Potter games. He used to play that story-wise, and I did all the QuickTime events for brewing potions and stuff. Kind of like always teamworking when we play video games. So growing up, that has always been a part of my life, I would say. So that's kind of how I got into gaming later on.
But and what games did you play with your brother?
We played Crash Bandicoot, Rayman, Sonic Adventures. I think it was Sonic Adventures 2 with the Chao Garden and stuff. Did you guys play that one?
I played Crash Bandicoot, but I don't know which one actually.
Blade's probably gonna tell that he went pro at Crash Bandicoot. So.
Yeah, totally.
You did.
He did.
No, I did not.
Crash Bandicoot was so much fun, and it was so challenging. And I remember my brother always remembering like all the cheat codes and stuff, like by head, because I don't even know how he managed to get those codes, because the internet was not as huge back when we were younger, right? As it is today. But he remembered those, and yeah, we played also a lot of Super Mario Sunshine. So those were the ones that we kind of grew up on.
Mm. Okay. And how did you like grow up? What did you study? What did you do? Did you do sports? Were you like more like, you know, just playing video games and being with your brother?
So I've done a lot. I grew up like in school. I studied to become a stylist, which included like skincare, hair, makeup. I used to work as a makeup artist, like a freelance makeup artist, before I started streaming, working for like photo studios and like clothing stores online to like put makeup on the models and stuff. So it's weird that it kind of took a whole different turn with gaming, going from that. Also been working with a lot of clothes and retailing, so I studied that, a lot of like clothes and hair and makeup, and then it was later on when Twitch like kind of became a thing in 2013. I think Twitch is older than that. It's like 10 years, I think, but 8 years ago, I got introduced to Twitch by a friend that told me I should, you know, try it out because I play a lot of games like every day, Halo, Call of Duty.
Is it a friend that also streams or not?
No.
Okay.
He or she
just said like, you're good at gaming, you should stream it, right?
Yeah, he said like, you should try it out, so I did, and it started as a hobby while I was working at the same time. And then it kind of just grew from there, applying for partnership and people like wanting to hang out and wanting me to like do it more. So I kind of had to go away from the makeup because it was at the time kind of expensive to just like do both at the same time, buying video games and buying makeup for my kit. And like traveling and all that stuff. So,
I mean, just let me ask you this: with your expertise in makeup and fashion,
mm-hmm.
He can't hear me. But how much of a hot mess is Blaze in real life?
Come on!
Oh, damn!
Nice. He's super nice. I got a really nice impression of Blaze when I've met him the first time.
It's the second time I usually ruin up.
It's the second time that
I ruin it. Yeah. I mess up. Nah. But so you started streaming, right? And and you were like, this is nice. I have people coming in my chat and talking to me. And that was like in 2012, 2013? 13, okay. 13. So you actually started 2 years before I even started streaming. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Was it Justin TV or was it already Twitch when you started?
It was Twitch when I started.
So it probably just did a transition to Twitch because I think around 12, 13, it went to Twitch when they bought it, you know?
And what
did you do when you started? Were you like, what games did you play and how did you build your community? Because the thing is, we have a lot of aspiring streamers listening to our podcast. We have a lot of viewers from your stream maybe that are going to be listening and viewers of our streams. And, you know, and people always like to know the story behind how you got started and, you know, like, what did you do? Did you, like, buy a small computer? Did you immediately buy all the shebang and spend $10,000? You know, mm-hmm. Like, how did you do it?
So, little by little, the first PC that I got when I started was actually my friend's that I live with, and he let me borrow it. So I grew up playing on console, right? I didn't have a PC until like just a couple of years ago. So it wasn't too much of like having to buy too many parts for me to stream. So I got that PC from him, and then I just bought a capture card, an old Elgato capture card to capture my console. And that's kind of how I started. Then while streaming and it like growing and people wanting me to like stream more and like push me to, you know, apply for partnership and stuff, they started also like supporting me in a way where they donated money towards, you know, a new camera or like a new Xbox One. I remember when that one released as well, just to like slowly help me upgrade my setup. So everything I've gotten has kind of like just evolved throughout the year, Yeah. Haven't really spent a lot of money, you know, in one go on stuff.
So, I mean, yeah. I think that's what's really special about a good community that rallies behind somebody that they find entertaining. And I think at some point in time, we've all benefited from that person that believes in that person, that content mm-hmm. creator, and been like, look, I'd love to be able to get this, but right now it's not in the cards. I don't have the extra money for it. And then boom, next thing you know, your donation alert's going off and you're like, hey, I believe in you. I'm behind you. And I think when that happens, I mean, not only does it does benefit you as a content creator, as a streamer. It just, now that those people are connected to you, like they're part of your stream family in a way, you know, because mm-hmm. if it wasn't for that person at that time, it never would have really happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Like I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Pine family, right? Just seeing some people still being here since the beginning of like my career is also like mind blowing to me. And just like, it feels weird in a way where people feel like they would like, you know, support you and what you do, support the causes that you know, like to work for and all that. Just, I truly feel very grateful for this journey. Definitely.
I mean, that's just awesome. I mean, those are like the good feel-good stories that you like to hear. You know, you're like, I wish I could do this, but I can't right now. And then someone gets behind that streamer, that content creator, is like, look, I'm all in. And like you said, those people that helped you out are still around. And, you know, and let's face it, in content creation, there's a lot of fickle like supporters that are be there one day and then they're, you never mm-hmm. see them again. I mean, like I was talking to Blaze and then I asked Blaze, do you remember your very first subscriber you ever had?
My very first? I know my very first ones and some of them are still around. I do. Yeah, but like, the very, very first one?
Yeah,
I don't know, like, because they all, like, kind of subscribed in a bunch, I would say, really? Like, at the same time, yeah.
But you come from the time, like me, when you got, you didn't have affiliate back then, and you only had to grind for partners, so you had to have, like, certain numbers already to get there. And like for me, because I was a CSGO streamer, I had to have like mm-hmm. 3-4 months in a row, 150 viewers average before they wanted to give me my sub button, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think about these numbers because now I wouldn't be able to reach them anymore. But mm-hmm. I don't know what it was for you. Like how did that go? Like, did you have like 50 or 100 viewers or was it like different for you?
Yeah, at the time, I think we had to stay on like a 200 viewer count for like a month when I applied. So that's that in a way as well, when I think about it, like who my very first sub was, like grinding for that and people coming in and just like supporting the stream and pushing for that partnership and those numbers. At the time, I feel like everybody was so hyped, which is like one of the most like... precious memories that I have, just the feeling of everybody like wanting to push me towards that. And then in the end, when we finally hit it, it was like such a cool experience. Everybody was just like showing support and being happy, and I was happy as well, you know. So yeah, it was like definitely bigger numbers, and I think it's harder today because there's so many streamers, like compared to when we started, right?
I always say if nowadays you get like 50 viewers or 100 viewers, it equals probably 300-400 back in the days, because back in the days when you had like 50 or 100 viewers and you were playing a game like CSGO, you'd probably be in top 10 or even top 15 of streamers. Mm-hmm. And you'll get way more exposure and way more people jumping into your stream randomly. While now, when you have like 50 viewers or less, people sometimes have to scroll like for a hot minute down the page of the game to find your stream. So to get like through, to get recognition, to get...
like that, like, discoverability.
Yeah, to get discovered through Twitch is really hard. And that's why we've talked about it in other podcasts. That's why I think it's really important to also use other social media. Like back in the days, I remember it was important to have like a Steam group, you know, everybody who came into your chat, you invited them to your Steam group. So when you went live, you posted a message on Steam that popped up on their screen while they were gaming. Like, I'm live now. Come and check me out. We're playing CSGO. Yeah. Come and play viewer games. Like, people don't use Steam groups anymore so often, but nowadays it's more like TikTok and Instagram, or you know, back in the days we already had Twitter. I think Twitter and the Steam group was like the main thing like 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, times change and you gotta like keep evolving with everything.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, definitely. Like back in the day, I remember I knew who everybody on Twitch was. Like, it didn't matter what game category they were. Like, I knew who everybody was. Compared to now, like, in one category, I don't know anyone because there's too many. So, yeah, it's definitely changed. I remember that Steam message. That's funny that you brought that up. I have forgotten about that, like, having the Steam group and stuff. Yeah.
It's just, and, like, I mean, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing about everything being so oversaturated. And Blaze and I have talked about this before, is that, oversaturation is bad sometimes, but also because of the pandemic going on. And like, I'm in the States, and I know you guys are in Europe and stuff, and your guys, the people in Europe, took the pandemic so much more harder, you know, like more like to, you know, every letter, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know. And, you know, here in the States, we're just like, you know, hey, you know, whatever happens, happens, YOLO. And so, of course, the streaming community, like, you see, like, bigger people, that bigger, like, celebrities are streamers now, and athletes, you know. I've been playing, like, you know, I've been playing Call of Duty for years, you know, and now I'm just going to stream it, you know. And I think that people that are what makes it so, in a way, disingenuous, though, are the people that are in it just to make a quick dollar. Whereas people like, you know, like, yeah, I've been streaming, me personally, I've been streaming for a while, but not half as long as you guys. But people like you and Blaze that have been in it for, you know, like, this is what I want to do. This is the dream that I want to chase. The people versus the people that are like, hey, I'm going to get in it. You know, I might get, you know, partnered. I might get affiliated. And then, you know, when everything comes back to normal, I'm out, you know. And then that community that these people are building, they're like, where'd they go? They're like, oh, he's doing something different now, you know. And so kudos to like people like you and like the Blaze that have, you know, have stayed the path. And, you know, like, I know Blaze in his episode, he talks about how he went down, the reason why he went down, and then now he's just, you know, he's coming back like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Blaze, look at you. It's like watching my son walk again, you know.
The thing is, I, in like, when I was in my CSGO days, I could have easily gone like full-time streaming, but I got into a divorce and everything, so that cost a lot of money. So I just kept working and streaming. I've never really taken the step to go 100% full-time, because I don't know, I always wanted that security. And I always tell people that talk to me like, hey, I got a bunch of, you know, donations, I got a bunch of of subscribers. Should I go full time? And the first thing I tell everybody always is you can't count on subs or donations. That's not what should be your main base of income if you want to go full time streaming. And I think you can agree to that most of your income should be coming from like your sponsors or your deals you have with companies, because that's a secure income, right? That's I think from the moment as a streamer that you don't need to worry about, do I have 10 subs or 1 million subs, or do I have 10 donations or zero donations or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's, if you can like count on your partners that you work with, I think that's a moment you could say like, I'm gonna go full time, because you always take a risk. It's different when you live at home with mommy and daddy, of course. But if you have a family, or you live alone and you gotta pay the bills, you know, it's a big risk to just go full time and hope everything keeps on rolling every month. Because I think as a streamer, you'll always have like ups and downs. You know, you'll have moments where you have 50 viewers, but you'll have moments where you'll have 500 viewers. Mm-hmm. It just depends of the moment, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's I stumbled across a lot of people and recently as well, where they say like, oh, you just play video games, like there's no work going into it. But then I'm like, okay, but I still need to, you know, pay my bills and make it go around, and trying to explain how this whole streaming thing works, right? I would always like recommend people to have like some sort of like safety when starting streaming, and like if they're thinking about going full-time, like kind of having a plan for it and being able to like do it. I feel like when I started out, when I went full-time, I've been honestly struggling a lot with like making things go around for the first like 4 years. And then the past like 4 years now has been easier. Like it takes a lot to like, you know, build a network and build relations and talking to, you know, finding the right people you want to work with and all that stuff. So yeah, no, definitely have some sort of safety. It's always good to like, you know, change and try new things, but also keep in mind that, you know, you need to be able to do it as well and pay your bills at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Blaze touched base on is that like, mm-hmm. like for this podcast, like we just don't get together, record a podcast, upload it. There's so much more that goes on behind the scenes that people have no idea.
Like the millions of messages I have to send to Mishi to come on.
I'm joking. I call them stalker talks. But they don't understand, like for you as a full-time streamer, is that they don't understand the, when you're not streaming, the, you always have to be a step ahead, the next thing that's going to benefit you, that will allow you to keep going. I mean, like Blaze and I, we're getting emails all the time from the for our podcast, and you know, we're dealing with those. And then on top of that, Blaze streams more regular. I'm kind of like erratic right now because of my work schedule, but you know, it's like those, we're always looking for that next thing that's going to benefit the podcast. And I can only imagine mm-hmm. the amount of business email proposals that you're getting like nonstop. Yeah. It's just, and
it's growing.
Probably the email, the emails asking for bath water and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, no. Feet. Why did you?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't know.
No, but honestly, when I read that stuff, like not from Mishi, but when I read that stuff on Twitter or anywhere, that people like, sometimes people show like their DMs, and I sometimes have to love the DMs they get from other people. I'm like, what the fuck do you dare to ask? Bathwater or this or that, or even feet pics. I'm like, okay, feet can be beautiful, but I mean, it's just a foot to me, you know.
It is just a foot, and I think that as well, but people are making it weird, right? Which makes it uncomfortable to like flash my feet, you feel me?
Yeah. I mean, Junk, I know Junk has nail polish on them, but he doesn't show them in stream.
You're not,
you know,
judging me for that. So I mean,
nail
speaking
polish
of
is beautiful.
Speaking of flashing feet, and like I was scrolling through, not like Blaze, in stalker mode, as in curious, you know, podcast host, and I was going through and like your like your like yoga, the yoga pose off that you did, and I was like, I think it's like your start, your intro screen or your or the video, and you were like nailed it, and then you flash over to the what it pose was, and I was like, no, that's funny. That is funny. Like, I've been asking Blaze to do yoga on stream, and then I realized that he probably would like hurt himself, and then I would have that.
I'd probably break something
on your conscious for the rest of your
life. I was like, I can't
have
that. Like, Blaze, can you come do the podcast now? And he'd be like, I can. I'm in the hospital. I broke my hip doing something you did. So, and
but that could be a fun incentive.
It could be good
though.
Content. Blaze, mm-hmm. Yoga, next stream, do it. So,
I mean, the recent clip, I actually, because I do watch Mishi from time to time, sometimes I'm a lurker, you know, I don't always talk, but one of the funny clips that I saw from her lately was the one where she slaps herself while she has water in her mouth.
Tired.
But like, I honestly, you're like good at gaming, in my opinion, because I sometimes watch you for your gaming, because you're good at it, I think.
Wow. What he meant to say was, you're good at gaming.
Yeah,
not
that's
I
what
think.
I think.
I'll edit the I think
oh,
out.
Oh, I think, yeah, sorry.
Out.
That's my
that's
English,
like saying,
dude.
I no. Yeah, I think you're like, gorgeous, or,
no,
you know.
No, the thing is, like, you know that a lot of dudes watch girls sometimes because they think they're pretty or something, you know, and I know Mishi IRL, so it's different for me to watch her, you know, like, and I watch her because of her gaming, because I think she's funny, because I think she's goofy as well. You do some funny, goofy shit sometimes, Mishi.
I am pretty goofy, I
right
know.
Like, nice, what was that other that thing you were doing, like a headstand and you fell on your face or something? I remember that from last year when you were like practicing doing headstands.
God. Yes, dude. And it's like you see life flash before your eyes as well. You're like, oh my God. Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's nice to be able to just like be yourself, right? And then you attract the crowd that you wanna.
Yeah, and I think the worst part about it now is because like the hot tub streaming and stuff like that, it's it's so inundated. So like if someone was to stumble across yours, they're like, where's your hot tub? And you're like, dude, I'm here to two tap people. I'm here to like quick scope 360 rust off
whatever
the top, you know.
You wanna do, yeah, then that's on you. But it's been hard in a way where people just expect you to do that and expect me to have OnlyFans and expect me to like show more skin, which is like annoying.
Wait, you don't have OnlyFans? I'm so disappointed in you.
No.
That's like something on our list that you cannot have to get on the podcast. If you have an OnlyFans, you cannot get on, because Junkhead already has one. It's more than enough, you know?
Okay, I think it's fine though, like people having OnlyFans and stuff, but it's just the people need to like be more respectful to other people. That does not like, you know, not assume that everybody has, or assume that everybody wants to like, you know, do that type of content in a way. We're all different people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think if someone stumbles across, it's like, it's just not just a pretty face, you know, I'm a gamer, you know, and
one another, right? And just like not assume everybody wants to do that type of content in a way.
I mean, if that's how people want to make their a dollar, then go for it, you know, live in the moment. But
definitely,
you know, I'm Blaze has been a liar, I'm gonna tell you right now, because he's the he's the one with the OnlyFans, not me.
Oh,
so.
Yeah,
okay,
totally.
All right.
I'm
you've
so
met
pretty
him in real life.
I'm
know.
So pretty. I look. Think I should lose a little bit of weight before I open an OnlyFans page,
yeah,
but
I'm
like my daddy weight.
So, like, I remember Blaze shared a picture with me back in the day, and he had his arm behind his head. He was laying on a bed. I was like, never send me that shit again.
That was not me.
Yes, it was you. And I was like, never send me that. I wish I need to scroll back and find it, and I'm going to post that on Twitter. This is the co-host of the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. And I was like,
yeah,
stop
don't,
doing
don't
that.
Believe everything he says, Mishi.
So he knows it's true. Plausible deniability. I know. So one question, because I always like these on stream, is that were you streaming when you got your partnership acceptance letter? Email?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
I was.
did you open it when you were streaming, or and
I did.
What was your reaction and what was your chats? Because I love it when people, even when they get affiliated now, when they open that the excitement they have, it's like a new streamer is born at that moment. What was that like when you cracked open that you've been accepted? Welcome to the partnership program.
Yeah, I was so happy. And Chad was super excited as well about the news. And I don't know, I was just like, when I get like a little shook, I just like kind of tend to get quiet or I just start crying because I'm like, what do I do with all these emotions? But it was definitely cool. And we started immediately to like try to decide like what sub badge we want and what emotes we wanted. And it was such a cool experience and definitely a bonding one with the Pine Fam, because that's when it all started, kind of. Oh, it was cool. I still have the email. Don't have the reaction, though.
Your next question should be, Bobby, pineapple on pizza or not to Mishi because she loves pineapples.
There's nothing wrong with pineapple. I will ask it. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes, 100%.
Thank you. Blaze, you're gone. You're out. You're out.
You got a new co-host. I got you.
New co-host.
But yes, I mean,
okay, this leads me to another question. Mayo on pizza.
I don't think I've tried that.
I do. I sometimes put mayo on my pizza when it's like four cheese pizza or something. And I sent one time a picture to Bobby, to Junkhead, and he was like, ugh,
don't
mayo
ever send
on
me
a pizza.
That again. Don't ever send
what
me that again.
What an abomination is that?
Exactly. Yeah, no. Why would you?
I haven't tried it.
Don't.
I mean, the thing that people usually think is grossest that I do is I love to eat sour candy and drink milk at the same time.
What and in then, the world? That's such a weird combination. Look,
and actually, a few of my viewers have tried, and they're all addicted now to doing that. So
none
just
of his viewers have tried that.
Yes,
Misha.
They have.
None of them have tried it.
Like, they even post pictures when they're doing it in my Discord nowadays.
Welcome to the Fragging and Lagging podcast with my new co-host, Mishi. We're here talking to Joaquin Blaze, who does weird shit. Blaze, why do you do this to me?
Mishi, when you went full time and you said like the first few years you were struggling, was it mostly because you were counting on your subs and everything, or was it because of the sponsorships? Or
so like starting out, like I knew nothing about like first off like creating my own or running my own company, all the taxes and stuff. At the time, streaming was also very new, so very few people knew about, you know, content creating and Twitch and all that stuff. And then also, like, what is my worth? What can I ask? What companies want to work with me? Who do I want to work with? And so in the beginning, it was definitely, like, just looking at my numbers, which was really stressful. Seeing, like, the sub count go up and down, seeing the numbers go up and down. It was, yeah, definitely a struggle in the beginning. It was fun streaming and all that, but then, like, you know, making it all go around once I became full-time streaming, yeah.
I mean, was deciding to go full-time, like, was it, like, possibly, was it hard, the hardest decision you think you could have made at that time, or were you just, like, full send, we're going to do it no matter what?
I did full send. I know I had the support of who I was living with at the time to like go full time. So I did it. So I didn't really have to think about like paying too many bills or anything like that. It was just the time was right for me to try to go full time. And then it kind of grew from there. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Blaze.
Yeah, no, do you, like, I know there's more and more, like, managers around also that help streamers. Do you use, like, a manager or management office, or do you do, like, everything yourself, or how does that work?
I used to work with a manager, really talented, super nice person, but I feel like, you know, doing this, it's nice to kind of have control, and I love building relations. what I've learned, like, throughout the years is I've worked with companies that, like, really don't give 2 cents about you, just like the thing that you do for them, right? So I started to realize that I want to work with a company that truly and genuinely wants to work with me. So in a way, doing all that stuff alone, like trying to build the connections with companies and stuff, organically, like, just grew into me just wanting to do it alone in a way. But, like, definitely if you have a lot to do, because being a content creator today is hard. Like, you have to keep track of, like we talked to before about before, is like you have to have like an Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and YouTube, and then you're streaming on Twitch. It's hard to, like, create all the content and do all the business stuff at the same time, right? So in that sense, I think, like, having a manager could be good, but it also have to be, like, a good fit for you. That manager or that person or company needs to know, like, what you like and all that stuff.
And somebody that takes care of you, that makes sure that you can, you know, live out of streaming and that they don't take advantage of you. Because a lot of people mm-hmm. that start out, I've heard many stories now, like, till now, that a lot of people that started out got, in a way, taken advantage of by companies just because they were that happy that somebody wanted to, like, sponsor them or do a deal with them, and they just took any random deal that they got without even having an idea of what value they were, or you know, what they should be paid for it or whatever. Like, there were there's so many deals you can do, like, with gear, which could be awesome, but if you're a full-time streamer, I think you also have to realize that you need some money to pay your bills, not just gear, you know. So I think a lot of people don't really know how to value themselves or how it works. Is there, like, any tips that you can give to people that are, like, maybe starting to grow right now and listening to this podcast and thinking, like, oh, this company contacted me, but I don't know my value. How can I calculate or see what I should ask them for them to pay me for what the job I want to do? Can you, like, give some examples? You don't need to give a name or whatever, but if you can give some tips or whatever, that would be awesome.
That one is so hard. That's kind of why I struggled so much in the beginning as well. It's like not knowing my worth and how much I can ask for, and, like, just taking deals. But I think, like, if you sit down and you see, like, how do I even, like, it's hard. You come to an agreement with the company you want to work with, right? And then you guys settle a deal, like, this is the content that you're creating and this is what you do for us and what you want in return for that content that you will be creating for them. I think
Do they like pay you per viewer, or do they pay you per time, or like, you know, that kind of stuff? Information, because I've heard so many different things, you know.
It's so different that from company to company, right? So usually, like, if I were to approach a company, I'd put down a plan for them. This is, like, my ideal, like, partnership I would love to have with you guys, and this is what I can, like, give you, and this is what I want in return, kind of. And then I just, like, the ideal thing would be to ask for a flat rate, because that feels more safer, right? And then you get to talking. But, like, knowing how much to ask for is hard. Like, it's hard. I would say, like, just...
I remember one of my first deals I had with MSI, for example, right? They said, we want you to make 3 videos of 3 different laptops. We'll send them to you. You can use them, blah, blah, blah. And we'll pay you this amount of money to do the 3 videos and to promote them. And you have 6 months to do it, you know? And we agreed on that amount of money, and that was it, for example. That's a deal you can make. You can also have, I don't know... let's say Elgato. I don't know anything about Elgato because I've honestly never worked with them. But let's say if Elgato contacts you and they say, like, okay, you have a code. On that code, you get a certain percentage. And other than that, we'll send you for this amount of money materials. And when we have new stuff, we want you to also promote it. And you can use it, and we'll send you for free. That's deals that are beneficial in both ways, because you'll get gear that you can actually use to get a better stream and improve your stuff, but at the same time you'll make money maybe by people using the code, or you know, but like you say, a flat rate is more securing. If you
it's
know
more
like
securing. It's like the ideal deal, right? But then also like making like an organic relationship with the company that you want to work with, it all depends on the situation, right? Where are you now in your streaming career? Like, do you need their products, or do you genuinely want to like get their products and then create the content? You can always like try, right? You can ask for a trial where you create content, you can show them what you do, and then like from there on maybe like ask for more like money if you want money, if you don't have that kind of deal, right? Like, I feel like it all depends on where you are in your streaming career.
I mean, I think by now, Junkhead or Bobby would probably sell his kidney to get a 3070 or a 3080 right now. So
I mean, I think a lot of people would, right?
We're not talking about
it. He's still jealous of mine. No, I got one too.
Yeah.
I got a 3080.
Yeah, but I got scammed out of mine, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he always brings that up. And then there's the sad boy hours.
That sucks.
If any company with that sells graphic cards hears this, Bobby will probably pimp himself out for you guys. You know, he'll do anything.
I make good videos. I can hook it up. You know.
But like you said, it's not easy to find those deals. But that's why I also talked about a manager earlier. Probably working with the one you used to work with also teached you a few things. And I think people shouldn't easily say yes to certain deals. And also think about who they work with, because you can like you sometimes see it in like TV shows or movies, like that there's somebody who's got an Instagram and gets popular and she gets a deal and it's like a clothing line and she starts promoting it and suddenly people are, I saw that, what is it, that Disney show that's on Big Shots right now or something, I saw it there, and she promotes it and then suddenly apparently, you know, those clothes she's promoting are made like in child labor and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I always say to people, like, look at the companies you work with.
100%.
I think you remember those gambling streams from CSGO back in the days. I worked with a few of the some of those companies, but I always looked at what companies were behind it, if they had certain rules, if they couldn't like young kids gamble and stuff like that. So, you know, you always have to kind of also look at your own image when you work with a company, because let's say you work with a company that has a bad reputation or a bad name, it will also hurt you as a content creator. Even if they offer you $100,000, you got to think about, is it worth it to do it? You know, I'm joking about $100,000. That's everybody's dream, but you know what I mean, right?
Definitely. Like you really have to like be wanting to work with the company and like make sure that you're working with a company that stands with your values in a way, right? They're not like doing shady stuff or like all that stuff. So definitely do your research beforehand and just try to calculate like how much you would want if you're doing like for the content that you create. I would say it's so hard. Whenever I get this question, I'm like still in the moment, I'm like it all depends on the campaign or deal that you're doing, right?
You've done a few with Activision as well, right? Like to promote their games, and like you got your contacts with Activision, right? What I wanted to say was like, can you please call them and ask them for an anti-cheat? That's all I'm asking.
Just an ad. I know, right? Yeah. I mean, I can see what I can do. Let me just call real quick.
But like,
Blaze trying to pull some strings to get some people banned. Gotta love it.
No, but the thing is, I know she plays a lot of Warzone, so, and she's probably excited about the new Zombies map coming out soon, right?
Yes. I'm so sad about the cheaters, to be honest.
I think everybody is. I think everybody is. I mean, like,
I have thoroughly enjoyed this season in Warzone and the cheaters because I just haven't played it because
he hasn't played this season, Junkhead.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because my other half of Team Bromance, you know, just is he's doing his Dutch thing and left me in the way.
I don't know if you know Michi, but I switched to streaming in Dutch because the Belgian community has pretty well grown lately, so I it feels more natural to me to stream in my own language, so I switched from streaming in English to Dutch. I do still speak English when my old viewers come in, and you know, but it's different. And I don't know, have you ever thought about switching to Swedish, or is it too hard because you've been streaming English for like 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, the thought has been there, like, what if I create a brand new account and just stream in Swedish as well? But it would be hard to do both at the same time. I do speak some Swedish, like I allow Swedish to be spoken in my stream if people really want to speak Swedish. But I don't know. I feel like it's nice to be able to talk to everybody, like in English.
And you've been doing streams as well where you invite your little sister, right?
Yeah.
they're funny.
I seen the one clip. Is it like what I forget what the scary game you were playing?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah.
She's been part of the stream growing up as well, which has been fun to see, like a little baby till now, like she's in her teens. But she's always like, oh, I want to play scary games. And she bugging me about it. And then 5 minutes in, she's like, I can't do this.
No! I'm out. You got this.
Yeah.
Use your Twitch Prime. So.
Yeah.
And has she ever thought about streaming herself? Or she's like, nah, it's nothing for me. I see your struggles. I don't want to do it.
She's like, oh, my God. She's so funny. Throughout the year, she's been like peeking and like, ugh. I have so many funny stories with her, but I don't think she's like into video games that much. She has her own plans for her future. That being like, I think she's talking a lot about becoming a psychiatrist is like what she wants. Just like helping people. And
so you could go and lay on her bench and talk about your struggles to her.
Yes.
Tell me about
like
your
for
stream
and pay
today.
Her for it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then all the whole time she's playing like tic tac toe on her notepad.
Alright. Angry Birds.
Angry
oh my
bird.
God, the Angry Birds hype a few years ago, that was okay. Or the Pokemon hype when people were like Pokemon hunting everywhere. Do you remember when those streams came up that everybody suddenly started walking outside and streaming and hunting Pokemon?
Yeah.
So funny. Have you done that or not? Was that not your thing?
I did not grow up with Pokemon, so I didn't really do it. I did it a little bit, like I tried it out. But it wasn't my thing because I'm not that connected with Pokemon.
I quit after a month. So
well, think about it. Yeah. Pokemon made gamers go outside and see the sun. So
which is really good. Like I enjoy seeing that people like out walking to find these Pokemons. It was actually really nice to see.
I think it was actually one of the boosts for people IRL streaming. You know, that Pokemon hunting thing that.
Mm-hmm.
That people started looking into gear that they had to use and what they had to do with their phones and everything to be able to stream, like walking around. Like I remember when IRL streams became like a big hype, and every event we went to, there were like a bunch of people walking around with their like a stick with their phone on and talking to their chat, and it was so funny. Like everywhere you went, you had like somebody streaming live, you know? So
yeah, or people just walking around trying to catch the same Pokemon. It was
like the one video, I think I seen one where there was a Charizard spawning in like New York and Central Park, and you see like this crowd of people like stampeding to get to it, and I was like, okay, that's a bit much. That's not Pokemon hunting. That's combat Pokemon right there. We're about to fight for a Charizard, I guess. I don't know. I mean, my grandson plays it, and that's his thing, and I'm just like, okay, whatever floats your boat, buddy. So now I know you talked about Call of Duty console. So obviously Xbox or PlayStation Nation.
Oof, I grew up on Xbox 360, Xbox One.
The greatest controller in the whole wide world, the Xbox 360
Xbox 360. I still
agree.
Use those controllers on my PC, actually, when I game.
They are so comfortable, yeah. So, and then you hop on the PS and it, like, hurts your thumb in a way.
Like, what
it's
is
not,
this?
Yeah.
But now you look at, like, people like Scuf, who, you know, we're not sponsored by Scuf, but if Scuf wanted to reach out and send us controllers, they could. Is like Scuf started making the PlayStation controllers like the 360 controllers, and you're just like, but okay. So anyway, we're 360. What was your favorite Call of Duty to play?
Black Ops 2, Black Ops 1, and Black Ops 2.
I was a Modern Warfare 2 person, but I loved Black Ops 1, like the barebone competition and stuff like that. That was always the best. But yeah, that's when Call of Duty was good, I think. I mean, there was cheats and hacks and stuff in it and everything. JTAG infections, but still, I mean, I firmly believe, like, so many boys became men in Modern Warfare 2 pregame lobbies. The things that were said, you know, was just ridiculous. And I was like, you know what? I was proud to be a part of that. You know, I did my part to society. I'm not saying I said mean things, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh. No. Call of Duty has been it's been fun growing up, like after school and before school, just playing. I remember Black Ops 1 was my favorite one, and then Black Ops 2 is where I started streaming.
Yeah,
so
it's like Black Ops 1, like firing range, summit. What was it? Was it Havana?
I think it was Havana.
Yeah, that was an interesting S&D map to play, but, you know, Blaze doesn't know what we're talking about. It's finally cool to talk about.
I honestly got into, like, Call of Duty when they had their first Battle Royale. That was the Blackout one. That's when I played my first Call of Duty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, before, I was honestly, I grew up playing a lot of random games on console with my friends. And I also always had a PC, so like I started on a Commodore, if people remember that, playing Donkey Kong and Pac-Man and stuff.
My feelings are so hurt right now, Blaze. I knew that you played Call of Duty, but I didn't know you didn't experience the good years.
No, I didn't. Honestly,
right.
I didn't.
I
loved playing games like Duke Nukem and Quake. I don't know if you remember those games, Mishi, but that was, you know. That were good games for me. Yeah.
Did you hear that sound just now? That was my heartbreaking, Blaze. That was my heartbreaking. Mishi heard it. She heard
it
too.
Heard it.
The funny thing is, I'm still better than you at Call of Duty right now.
But you don't have a better voice than I do. Okay, there. You don't have this voice.
That's true. That's true.
Say smack talk when you play COD or
this?
I'm the worst. I come from H1Z1.
Yes.
H1Z1 was the one where when you killed somebody or they killed you, you could have a conversation while they were still dead and laying on the floor. Like, you could tell your whole story. You could be like, hey man, I visited your mom yesterday and I left her underwear. you know, like,
see, like,
you bring it.
Like, here's like when we used to play together, like in Warzone, like, this was Blaze's reaction. You suck, you cheater, blah blah blah. Like, me, I gave you positive reinforcement. Like, you look good in those jeans today. Call your mom, you know, tell her you love her. Blaze, you suck.
Or I was like, hey, I forgot my underwear at your mom's, you know, stuff like that. Or maybe on Valentine, I was nice. On Valentine, everybody who killed me, I said happy Valentine, okay? Or on Christmas, I said happy Merry Christmas, you know? But on other days, they're all cheaters and they're all bad at the game.
Yes,
and they were just
horrible.
Lucky because I couldn't kill them, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So it was funny because I started doing this series on TikTok called Dying in Verdansk, where all I did was complimented people after they killed me. And it was Blazes. He goes, you should make that. You should do that. And I started doing it.
He
it
couldn't
TikTok.
Make clips of him killing people because he was always dying.
Look,
so I said, why don't you make a series of Dying in Verdansk?
This is what I deal with all the time. And like, there was one time we were playing and, okay, I will say, we always called it boobies because over her head it looked like boobies and we're boys at heart, you know. And he's like, you should come inside, this guy's gonna run you over. And I kill the guy, and you hear Blaze go, huh, got lucky. And I was like, thanks, Blaze, thank you.
He's like, damn,
he's like, you just got lucky. And I'm like, oh, man. No. He builds me up and then tears me down. That's my good friend Blaze. Love him. Oh. LOL. So, oh, good times. Good times.
Yeah, that was funny.
Always.
But that seems like a nice thingy for your TikTok, though. Giving confidence. Yeah. I like that. That's yeah. so nice.
But I haven't yeah. been able to do any lately because...
Well, the thing is, he's gone to longer shifts at work. And yeah. because he's in the U.S., in 1 hour from now to 2 hours from now, usually I'm sleeping. That's the time he gets home, and we just can't play at the moment. But he's getting other shifts in a month or something, right, Bobby?
I hope so, man.
We're probably gonna be gaming then again.
Drama. Yeah. I hope so.
But I have a question. Did you when you were gaming, right, and you had your mic on and you were like, "Hey guys, let's go"? I know your voice is not like that. That's my voice.
That's still his voice. That is still his voice. His voice cracks like no other. Go ahead.
But were the guys like, "Oh no, it's a girl," or like, "Hey, marry me," or, you know, did you get all those comments all the time like you sometimes see, or not, or was it like, "Oh my yeah. god, she's cracked"?
I don't talk in game chat for a reason, especially with Call of Duty. Like in the beginning, people are so toxic, like really toxic, so I just stopped talking in game. But sometimes there are some people that are nice, you know, when they hear that you're a woman. But it's very rarely that I talk in game.
But you play with some a fixed squad or with viewers, or because honestly I watch your streams. I usually drop in and you're already playing with people, and I'm always like, should I ask her to play with them? And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna bother her, you know. But nah, probably there's a million dudes asking to play with her. I'm gonna leave her alone, you know.
Yeah.
Blaze, as your court appointed podcast attorney, you're on the verge of getting a restraining order. I feel like you may be stalking her a little too much.
That's my 10th restraining order already, and we're only two seasons in the podcast. I mean, I got so many people I'm messaging that blocked me. No, that's not true. I've never been blocked.
I'm joking. All the time. He's like, they blocked me.
That's our thing. Me and Bobby tease each other all the time. You know, we're old farts, but we keep teasing each other. I mean, he's like 56. I'm like 43.
Stop. 48.
It's just about 40. Just a number, right?
Hey, I act like a 12-year-old.
I'm a 25-year-old, I always say.
Blaze acts like he's 9.
I've actually talked to a 18-year-old woman, young woman, should I say. She was like, "Oh, but you're like the boys. You play video games." And I'm like, "Oh, shoot." She thought I was so young. I was like, yeah, my mentality maybe. But it's just a number, right? It's like, oh. She made me feel... She made me feel young.
Yeah, it was a nice little... I was like, ah.
Feels good.
I do remember when I started streaming and went to events, people were like, "Wait, how old are you?" I'm like, "Guess." And they're go like, "You're 28. I'm like, "No, I'm 35, 36. You know? And they're go like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, so."
Dude, you look it.
So. Yeah. I'm like, just do a lot of sports and take care of yourself. That's most important.
So, I mean, let's go touch base on what Blaze was talking about and sponsorships. Like, what are your current sponsors that you have in your arsenal?
I am partnered with Elgato, and I've been partnered with Elgato for 3-4 years now, and that's it. Like, I do campaigns and stuff. I've done a lot for Logitech recently, and Samsung I've been working a little bit with, which also those campaigns, I do have a company that reached out to me to see if I want to do them. So I
want to put this out there. Mm-hmm. Is that for my birthday, Elgato was supposed to send me a nice care package, like a couple key lights and some cool stuff. It got lost in the mail. Can you reach out to your contact and make sure they send that to me? Maybe Blaze one. Let's give Blaze a key light. You know,
hey, I was one of the first ones to get the Stream Deck. When they had the Stream Deck come out, I was like, this is a thing streamers can use. And I can honestly say, some of their things have a certain price and it's not payable for everybody that streams, mm-hmm. and there's alternatives. But honestly, they kind of set the tone for a lot of companies to look at streamers. There was a, there was not, like, definitely. If you remember when we both like started streaming, there mm-hmm. were not a lot of companies that had items that were like good for like streaming, and you really had to like look up YouTube videos and look up other stuff to get the right setup together or get the right items, and you had to like instead of their key light, for example, that you have now, or the other LED lights that a lot of companies sell now, you had to use like the lights that they use for photo shoots or something that like burned your skin up because they were getting so hot, you know. But
yeah,
they were. But I do want to thank them for like setting a certain standard and helping streamers out getting stuff. So, but
definitely.
Like your favorite item of Elgato, like, you know, like you're gonna say Elgato's the best company, so I'm not even gonna ask that.
What
is your favorite item to use from Elgato that you think is the most practical, useful, whatever to you?
Like, if they came through and said you can only have one Elgato item, what would that be?
Oh, that one is so hecking hard. Oh my god, yeah, it's so hard to choose an item because they all work well together, right? But if I had to pick one, it would probably be the capture card. It's the first item that I bought, and it's what makes it possible to stream consoles and my PC, right? So I would say the capture card, but it's hard. I want to see the Stream Deck and the Cam Link and all of it, but
yeah. I mean, if you're getting rid of your key lights, once again, Elgato DMs.
He means when you get like the new version of the key lights, you can send the old ones to Bobby.
I'll take
He'll take them off of you.
Well, but they really do have amazing products that work so well for streamers.
Because of Blaze, me and you have a connection. You may not know about. My mouse is actually from Sweden. And my headset is only from Sweden, too.
I have been working with Xtrfy almost my whole career as a streamer. And they're a Swedish company. You probably know them, Xtrfy. You probably see them in shops in your country. So,
yeah.
But they have a lot of, like, they don't have, like, a lot of different keyboards or mice, more and more each year, but, like, when they started out, they had, like, one professional mouse, one professional mechanical keyboard, because they were linked with Ninjas in Pyjamas, and they always supported me. If I had 10 viewers or 200 viewers, whatever, they were always there. When I break something, I just have to, or when yeah, I maybe once in a while broke a keyboard on my knee or threw away a headset, you know, to test the quality for video purposes.
Yeah, you gotta make sure it's strong.
And sometimes I had to contact them and say, like, I think my headset's broken. And within 1 or 2 days, they send an express thing with new gear for me. So they've always been amazing. And that's what you say, like, when you work with certain companies, you got to have a good feeling with them. And like, for me, sometimes, certainly, because for me, streaming is a hobby, right? I have a full-time job. I have a kid now. I have a second kid on the way soon. So, you know, like, my life gets busy. Thank you. My life gets busy. And when I stream, I do it for fun. It's my hobby. Mm-hmm. It's like 3 times a week or 4 times when I can. Bobby at the moment can only do it like once a week because of his work. But we do all of this for fun, you know. We create content for fun, and I think that should be the basic for everybody. And when I see you do your thing, I always see you're having fun. You're always smiling, you're always happy. You post those pictures having your morning coffee, getting ready for stream, you know. Like, you give off a good and positive vibe, and I think that's what runs as a threat to your streaming career, is that you've always been positive, always been smiling, and always have tried to build positive things around your stream, like the donations for Save the Children, like just having fun and laughing in your stream, like doing silly things and standing on your head or doing triple saltos in your stream, you know. But
yoga pose offs, you know.
Awesome yoga pose offs and inspiring people to get healthy and do sports and stuff like that. So like Junkhead would say, kudos to you for doing that.
Aww. Oh my God, he's growing.
Oh, you guys
he's
are
becoming
so nice.
Special. I'm not crying. Just kidding. Aww. But yeah, wow. I mean, yeah. I remember, like I said, just touching base with Xtrfy. I can't say thank you enough because Blaze said we're gonna send you some stuff, and you know, I get this box and it's taped with the flag. It's got the Swedish flag, made in Sweden, and I was like,
nice.
This is so awesome. And then I opened it up and I was like, dude, what the heck? And so nothing but love for Xtrfy.
They even send them so sunglasses nice. Because he lives in Florida with their logo on it.
I have pink sunglasses, so it's nice. And it's become my thing, pink, for some reason. Yeah. So, I'm just. It's nice, and I think refreshing to talk to and hear people like you that are in it for the right reason. That you have this awesome vision. You have this foresight of the stuff that you want to accomplish. The things that you want to do, and you're doing it the right way. So as Blaze would say, that I would say kudos to you.
Aww.
And, but you're not off the hook yet.
No,
you are not off the hook yet.
Because I was about to say, which is so nice about with Xtrfy that they do that. Like thinking about the creators and like, you know,
yeah,
because
like
only...
for me, I didn't even think about it because I'm not sponsored by them. I got this because of Mr. Blaze, Mr. The.
Yeah, I actually wrote them a message and I was like, look, I got my co-host from the Fragment Lagging podcast. His mouse is broken and you know, he needs a new headset and this and that. And they were like, give us his address. We'll take care of him. And they just send him a bunch of stuff, you know, and they actually did it twice. So.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes it's not all about the money. Sometimes, like you said, it's the connection you make,
and
the way they treat you.
I'm golf
clapping. They wanted to support you. They wanted to support Bobby, and that's why, like with like Elgato as well, it's like they listen to the community and they support their partners and the content creators. That's why I love working with them, because they, you know, make you feel part of the whole community and the whole family. Which is nice, and it's rare to find, and that's why I feel like it's important to find that company that generally wants to like support you and work with you and supports your values and what you do. So kudos to freaking Xtrfy as well and Elgato. It's rare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Send out care packages. Yeah. We could all use some new stuff.
So. No,
he's trying to contact Elgato again, I think, because he really likes Elgato.
I do like Elgato, but I do love Xtrfy. New keyboard. I need a new keyboard that I didn't say.
Yeah.
But
it's important because like being a content creator and especially like doing it full time can get so lonely. Having a company that gives you feedback and, you know, supports you is so important, and it means a lot, I feel.
Yeah, how have you, like, lived the last year, 1.5 years with the whole COVID thing? Like, you were, in a way, as streamers and content creators that are full-time, I think you were kind of blessed because more people were at home and had more time to watch streams. Plus, you were kind of safe at home, you know? You didn't have to get out of the house all the time.
No, definitely, but it gets lonely because the only time you really meet people is when we go to events, right?
So, I love events, certainly the ones with open bars, you know, free drinks, and then we have to carry certain persons to the car to bring them to their hotel. But it was so fun. I was so funny. I'm never gonna forget. I saw you like desperately looking for a ride, like a cab or something, and I was like, guys, do you need some help? And you're like, yeah, can you help us? I'm like, yeah, I'll help you guys. And that was so fun. I still tease him about it without saying his name now, but I still tease him about it. Maybe has been on our podcast as well. But I'm looking forward. Like, I already wrote a few friends that live in Sweden. I'm like, do you think there's going to be a DreamHack this year or not? And they're like, we don't know yet. Maybe not this winter. We're not sure. It will probably depend on the summer what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
But like Sweden had like a whole different approach to the COVID situation than most other countries in like Europe, you know, like you guys.
Dangerous here, I feel. They don't think flying Hey,
yeah, but they had their idea that it was better to get a few people sick in between brackets, a few people, so you would reach more easily group immunity, like they said, right?
Yeah.
And in my country, they were like, oh my God, they're crazy in Sweden. We've had like 4 lockdowns in my country, like full lockdowns. It was crazy. Yeah.
Everything's been open here, but a lot of old people die because of that, right? There's no restrictions. Like, the only thing here is like stand 2 meters apart and like sanitize your hands. That's it. Nobody really wears masks here, which is weird. Yeah.
And we're still wearing masks like everywhere. When you enter a store, you have to wear a mask. If you go somewhere, you have still like the restaurants are open, but they have to close at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you do a reservation at a restaurant, you can only be like people from the same household and maximum 8 people and stuff like that. Like, it's still crazy. But like, I've seen like with the European Championship of football or soccer for the Americans, that those rules were like broken a bit as well in my country. When like Belgium scored, everybody was hugging everybody, and like now people can travel again, and we're like, it's going up again, the cases of COVID. But it's a lot of young people now that haven't been vaccinated yet, for example, that get get COVID right now. So yeah, but anyways, I hope at some point it will be way better and we can go back to TwitchCon America and TwitchCon Europe, because I was really looking forward to TwitchCon Amsterdam, but yeah. Same. That got canceled.
Yeah.
Never been to a TwitchCon. I've done DreamHack.
You've been to DreamHack Atlanta? Yeah, or which one did you go to?
Yeah, Atlanta, H1Z1.
And which other one did you do?
Atlanta. Yeah, MLG Atlanta.
Oh yeah, Bobby used to be esports manager, by the way, Mishi. That's his background. And
nice.
Yeah, so, and he was with World Best Gaming, one of the bigger stream teams we had back in 2016. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Bobby's experience. But I think Bobby wants to get to our last segment of the podcast.
Yeah.
And he's gonna come with a hard thing now. But
it's
like,
really tough because like when you're doing an episode that you're really enjoying, like for me, like this is my way of consuming content in another way. So when we have guests like you, Mishi, on here, it's like you could go on for a while and you're just like, man, because it's nice, because I think that's why Blaze and I love this concept that we do, is that like Blaze knows some things about you, but he gets to learn new things about you. Like, I come in kind of blinded about it a little bit, and I'm like, now.
And sometimes it's the other way around, huh?
And it's like you get to learn about somebody in a way. It's like that first person coming to your stream that's coming to Blaze's stream. No one comes to my stream. But, you know, it's that chance that you can make that connection with somebody and you're like, this is awesome. I love hearing people's stories. And that's why we really cultivated this podcast. So.
And I remember when we just got into Discord before we started this podcast and like explained you what we wanted to do. You're like, oh, I'm a bit nervous. And, you know, but like it is like we say, you just grab a beer or a drink and we just talk and enjoy. And there's so I'm sure there's so many more stories we can hear from you and things that happened at events or whatever, or, you know, or funny stuff with your sister that we can probably go on for hours. But yeah, sometimes, you know.
You know what we can do is we can set it up, and we're going to be part of the Save the Children campaign, and we would love to have you back on.
We're going
to
live stream them,
when we raise more money than you.
Yeah.
That's what Blaze told me to tell you.
But we what we usually do is when we do the Save the Children, we have one or two streams and we invite our guests we had that season on to come live in the stream and, you know, have a little chat with us and the viewers and maybe do some funny stuff and, you know, just to so here is our invite already to somewhere in August, be ready for me to stalk you again, you know.
Yes. Definitely. So, we're a good cause.
We're gonna do is like one of the things that we'll do is that Blaze will actually paint his body and then we're gonna auction Blaze off. Blaze, it's for the children. Stop making
it's
it about
for
yourself.
A good cause.
I gotta get to the gym. I'm out. See you later.
Working out. Before we get to this next segment, on behalf of me and Joachim, I want to say thank you for coming and being a part of the Fraggin family. You're in. You can't get out. Just so you know, It was a verbal contract when we push record, you're in. So we'd like to do this thing this season called Two Random Questions. I ask a question, Blaze ask a question. And
and it's not an easy question.
It's never going to be an easy question. Okay. Well, Blaze is, I don't know, it's up for debate. So he's been nailing it. So Blaze, I'll let you go first.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll have two. Can I have two?
No, you can have one and possibly a follow-up. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll let Nishi determine if you've earned a second question. Based on that.
Right. What's the funniest thing that ever happened to you at an event?
Meeting you,
Blaze. Yeah, meeting you, Blaze. That was the funniest thing ever. No, but it was really nice. But I think the funniest thing, like the funniest memory I have, there's so many, but there was one time, you know, O'Leary's DreamHack, I was having some drinks with my friend Maral and Gabe, and we were like taking shots of
Jaeger. Gabe from...
From Gaben? From Gaben? No.
It's a joke. Did we lose her?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you're back.
There we go. Yeah, right. He's from Germany. Do you know who he is?
No.
No.
This is a really, really lovely person.
No, but I remember Gaben from CSGO, you know, the prayer you do to Gaben. Remember?
No. It's a really dear friend of mine. And we were having drinks with Maral and we were like shotting Jaeger. And it was getting close to the end of the night and they were going to close up. And they started filling our Jaeger shots in like drinking glasses, and I remember it was so funny because I was just about to say, because it was a lot, like the glass was like half filled and that's a lot, and we were drinking a lot, and I was just about to turn around and tell Maral to not take that one because we're going home anyways, right? It's time to sleep, we've been drinking, and I see her down the whole thing, and I was like, oh my life, like I was just about to tell her not to take it, and she just like it was water. It was the funniest thing I've seen because I was so shook, and she was just like laughing, and yeah, that was
That's a Maral we all know, probably. Maral, if you're listening to this, we like, know you like to drink water.
she's like super awesome, and she works really hard, and I don't think I've ever seen her like down it like that. And I was so shook because it was so funny. Yeah.
I'm clapping for Maral. She's a savage.
That was a fun moment. I think.
Okay. The hard-hitting question.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your history before you got into streaming and fashion, makeup, style.
Oh, no.
Okay. On a man bun, a ponytail, or nothing, what would you prefer?
A man bun.
Gosh,
let's
wrong
go.
Answer. I'm gonna edit that out. I harass Blaze about his man bun
I'm actually growing a man bun, and my son already has a man bun. So, and he's like,
I like man buns.
He's always teasing. Like, I'm going for the Viking haircut style, you know, with shaved on the sides, and then a man bun. I do the same thing with my little boy from 3 years old. He's got the coolest curly hair. So, you know, and. I love that you said man bun.
To the man bun.
I wish you would have said that, man bun is the grossest
thing
in the whole
wide world.
That was not a
hard. That was not a hard question, Bobby. You got to think of something else, honestly.
Even
though I love the answer.
Devastated. I'm shocked now. I'm shocked. I was not expecting that one. So, Blaze, go ahead and ask your second question.
Okay.
You've earned it.
weirdest thing you ever that ever happened to you as a content creator. It can be in the stream, it can be at an event, it can be even a mail of somebody asking for bathwater, you know. But like, what's the weirdest thing that you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I got an email in my business email, by the way. A woman.
What's his business? Oh, a woman. Okay, okay.
Yeah, wanted to record a video of herself kowtowing to me. I didn't know what kowtowing was.
What?
Me neither. I think it was called kowtowing. Yeah, so it's like a way of like, you know, you sit on your knees and like you kind of like do like a little bow, like kind of like worship type of thing. I think that was. I Googled it. I was like, what is that?
I just Googled it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like bowing to people or something like that.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Why? And it was just, yeah, that was one of the...
The literal meaning is knock your head. So it's like knock your head while kneeling on your knees.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And well. She wanted to record herself doing that to me. And she asked if, like, I could send her some, like, stuff. I don't know. It was a really weird email. Like, I've gotten a lot of weird stuff, and a lot of weird stuff has happened. But that one, I was like, wait a minute. Why? And what is that? And why? Huh?
We're going to move that one to the spam folder. We're going to move that to the spam folder.
I never seen that email.
Yeah.
It was a little bit weird, yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Now your real question, Bobby. Come on, man.
That was my real question. I'm sorry. I'm usually pretty good about these questions, but that one, I was not expecting that one.
Now towing. Bobby, I'm going to now tow to you when I meet you, okay?
Yeah. You should do that to Mishi because she shut me down.
Imagine
like
next dream hack, like, Mishi! Go
don't
on my knees.
I just don't know what to say, so.
I'm going to do that to you, so we'll do it together.
We can do it to Moral, all both of us. Like, Moral!
I miss Moral so much. Yeah, let's do it.
She's living in like a totally different country right now, so she's living her life.
What is your stream schedule like, though? I mean, how often do you stream? We're coming to the end. Go ahead and you shouted out Elgato, all that stuff. What is your like your stream schedule?
Shout out Elgato. Yeah, my stream schedule is I do a Tuesday to Sunday, and sometimes in the mornings and sometimes in the afternoon. Stream schedule has been a little bit wonky, but I just could stream almost every day.
But the best way to make sure you're up to date on what you go streams is you go to her
Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah. You go to her Twitch, so that way you guys, all her information will be in the description below.
Usually when you see a morning coffee picture, it's like, I'm going to drink this coffee, going to stretch a little bit, then I'm going to go live. I'm going to do some yoga, you know, to get relaxed before I get on, and I'll be there to shoot some heads, you know.
So, like I said, once again, on behalf of me and Joaquin Blaze, thank you for coming on this podcast. It's been a great episode. And you guys...
It's been awesome. Blaze
told me to say this at the beginning, but I'd never do.
So you always forget.
If you made it this far, just go ahead and download the episode. It's that much better because you can listen to it whenever you are listening to it on all podcast platforms. And then
Spotify, Apple, what is it? Apple Play?
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher.
Yeah, I think we're like on 15 platforms right now or something like that.
She's worldwide anyway, so it's going to be fine and all that kind of good stuff. And we really hope that for the best and the most success for you. And just when you're big and even bigger and famous and possibly like the prime minister. I don't know if that's what you have.
Of Sweden.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So you could be like,
the prime minister of Sweden for streaming.
You could be like,
financials to get more money from streamers. One question, like Bobby doesn't believe that to me, but you guys are getting taxed on donations, right?
Yeah.
Or how does it? Yeah. See, and in the US, they're not getting taxed on donations. Like he couldn't believe when I told him.
Yeah, we do get taxed on everything.
So no donations, only bits, please.
Only bits, please.
Only bits. So, you guys go show that love and support. Thank you very much.
Her information will be down below on the information of the podcast. So be sure to click it. You got, if you want to see one of the nicest smiles on Twitch and one of the most positive persons on Twitch, just go and check her out.
Out, so
wow, yeah. You guys are so nice.
Awesome, awesome tattoos with a Scorpio in it. Tattoos, you know,
tattoos, as she said, tattoos. It's funny when you said that, tattoos, because that's what like a friend of ours says, tattoos, tattoos. We're like, what? So, you guys, just go show some love, all right? Show some love, show some support. Don't be a dick.
No, don't
be
an ass. So
be positive. And you guys, whenever you're gaming, get out there fragging, because if not,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my God, a kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas!